intellectual properties, to enforce business policies, to examine configuration and security holes before they can be a problem to institutions. I recommend you visit their booth on the fourth floor. They have some interesting swag. What I like about this organization, actually what I like about many security organizations, is we actually have founders. One of the people today is the founder of BoundView. He's the CEO and president, Eric Pulaski. And I'd like to invite Eric to come introduce this afternoon's speaker. Eric?
Thank you, Jack. Good afternoon. On behalf of everybody at BindView and especially our Razor team, we're very pleased to be here for our fourth year supporting the Black Hat Conference as a diamond sponsor. And I'm very pleased to be here to introduce our keynote speaker, very interesting guy, Dario Forte. Dario is a certified fraud examiner and a certified information security manager and has been active in information security since 1992. He started off his career in law enforcement in Italy as a police investigator working with drug enforcement, organized crime, and then got very interested in wiretapping and electronic security fraud and electronic crime. Dario finished up his career as a police investigator last August, where he was involved in the investigation of 14 Italian hackers known as the Reservoir Dogs. And now Dario is an independent consultant. He does forensics consulting, security, incident response support for government, law enforcement, and corporate customers, and including NASA, U.S. Army, the Navy, and also is an adjunct professor of incident response at Milano University of Crema. Dario is also a guest intrusion instructor for the Department of Homeland Security, and he is now serving as the security advisor for the newly formed European Electronic Crimes Task Force, the EECTF, supported by the U.S. Secret Service of Milan. And so also on a personal note, I've gotten to know Dario a little bit, and in the best Italian tradition, he likes fast cars and has been known to spend €1,000 on a bottle of red wine. So with that, let me introduce you to Dario Forte.
Thank you. Okay. I want to thank Eric for the presentation. The problem is that I'm a little bit tall, you know, I'm not Superman, as you can understand. But it's a very big pleasure for me to stay with you today. And the reason why I'm here is that I want you to be aware about the European hacking scenario and European criminal hacking scenario, because times and things are changing in our continent and in my country as well. And this is the reason why I'm here. Eric talked about the Operation Rootkit. The Operation Rootkit was concluded by the Italian Financial Police. The name of the agency is Guardia di Finanza, in August 2002, when 14 Italian hackers, almost all information security professionals, were busted by the agency because they were hacking the networks of NASA, U.S. Army, U.S. Navy, and various universities all around the world. That's what happened. The investigation is still in course, and it's still under NDA, non-disclosure agreement. But I can tell you some more details about the investigation, details which are public, of course, so we can discuss together about what's happening in my country. This is the European hacking scenario. We have classified by territory the hacker group in the Europe. And in East Europe, we have mostly malicious mobile code writers, credit card fraudsters, and cyber extortioners. In the middle, in the center of, and in the north of Europe, we have also defacement, some script kiddie, some good distributed denial of service donor, and some distributed information theft. In Western Europe, at least, we have crypto attacks. The platforms which are used by the attackers are mainly, I mean, as a tool, are mainly Linux and BSD, while the best targets platform are, of course, Windows. And all flavor of Unix, like BSD, Sun, Solaris, Linux, but also Irix and other operating systems. The operation rootkit was started in September 2001 and is an international hacking case with more than 1,000 compromised machines worldwide. 20% of those machines are military and government based in the US. 20% are military and government based in Europe. Others are university and companies worldwide. And we had also some bank involved, some US bank involved in the case as a stepping stone. I will tell you more details in the few slides, but I want to make it clear, the gray hat phenomenon is growing up in my continent, because they are people that set up their own machine at day. They are client machine. They are machine that are set up paying the consultants, and they use the same machine at night as a stepping stone to launch definitive attack against government target. This is our scenario in Europe. And they don't only do that. They also steal files and they sell files to organize the crime and other intelligence services. This is what they do. The contemporary European hacking lifestyle is like this. They do distributed information gathering using already compromised machine as a stepping stone, as I told you before. And or they use their own machines using a flat rate dial-up connection owned by foreign ISP with toll-free numbers. Or in alternative, they use a flat rate account stolen from normal users via Trojan horses. In both cases, they hid their caller ID. Fortunately, in Italy, we were able to understand the caller ID because we have the method to do this, because in Italy, we have just three carriers which operates in our country. The problem is in a state and nation like the United States, when you have 30 or 40 different carriers, it's very difficult to trace the caller ID. But we were fairly lucky about that. Their preferred targets were mainly Linux and Irix machines. Breaks in done within 24 hours from the vulnerability discovery or disclosure. That points out against the full disclosure movement. And once inside, they used to steal files, mainly docs and source codes, or use the computer as a stepping stone for further operation, more hacking and those net creation. Or at least in the residual case, they use the computer, could compromise the computer for IRC traffic. So what we have understood on Reservoir Dogs, the method used by the Reservoir Dogs to attack the machine is fairly conventional. But the method they have used to exchange the information between each other is the same method that the organized crime use in our country. So they establish a closed community. They establish some good secure channel, like a secure shell or encrypted IRC, or IPv6 tunnel. And we had the confirmation of this because the May issues of the scan of the month of the HoneyNet project gave to the people a scan of a group of Italian hackers, which casually was the people that we have arrested last year. And we have discovered this talking with Lance Spitzner after 8 months from our operation. All the workload of the hackers is shared by the components, okay? in our country, it's an indicator of conspiracy. Okay? And another characteristic they had is that they ever done any defacement because it's not qualifying for them. They just acquired the machine and just compromised the machine and just take the machine sleeper even for 200 days, like was happened for an American university, and then use the machine just for one single criminal act, and then burn it. Make sense? What about the tool they use? Okay, they use Nmap, of course. They used Hping, which is fairly used also in this community, and which use also they made also a passive fingerprinting technique using an evolution of X probe. We have trace of that. During the attack phase, they used the public available exploits, eventually customized. And this is for sure, they used a self-made rootkit, both cross and locally compiled, depending from the target. And last but not least, they made a large use of log wipers and forensic, anti-forensic tools. This is the graphic related to the information gathering phase that they have done. They had a master called Pentots, which is who is the chief of the group, and he built up his own XML engine to gather the information. Then he compromised with the help of the other components of the group a lot of agents, where some rootkits was installed. The communication between the agents and the master was totally encrypted by a proprietary implementation of AES. And at the end, they made the port scanning and the advanced scanning against the target. Some number about the operation rootkit, about the operation, the backtracing that we have done. More than 300 gigabytes of log were examined by hand without using any tool. So you can understand the mental status of the operator after the second month of investigation. You know, pieces of pizza, you know, from a corner to another, in the best case. Some chairs, something. Five police government agencies involved. The U.S. Secret Service, we gave to the financial police the first news. The U.S. Army CID in Fort Belvoir, NASA, OIG, Navy, and a couple of computer emergency response team in Oxford and in Germany. We had also in Germany a private sector partner. We gave us a lot of details about the first compromised machine. I will give you more details in the next few slides. And in that case, we figured out that a practitioner coordinator was needed. This is the reason why we started with the idea of the European Electronic Crime Task Force. Let me give you some more details about the Operation Rootkit. 1 year-long investigation, the post-mortem investigation is still in course. 14 people charged, 4 of them were minors at that time. More than 40 computers seized, almost 1 terabyte of data seized, 1,000 of various CD-ROMs and DVDs seized, also child pornography stuff, and many credit card number, very good credit card number, I can assure you, were recovered. So, after concluding the first part of the investigation, we were fired. No, it's a joke. After completing the first part of the investigation, we have understood that something wrong was happened. The problem was related to the insider threat. A portion of the group of the hackers that we have catched was working as info security manager in big consulting firms and ISPs, even Italian branches of US companies. Okay? regularly hired by the U.S. companies. The name of the companies are, of course, under non-disclosure. The remaining people were freelance security consultants. And that means that they were white hat at day and black hat at night, in the wrong sense of the word, not in the right sense of the word. Some more detail about the scheme that they used. This slide was presented by the U.S. Army at the first European Electronic Crime Task Force meeting in Milano last June. We were communicated by the Secret Service that an U.S. Army computer was compromised, and then we started talking with the U.S. Army, and they told us that a German web server from an important German company was used as a stepping stone to acquire the target. Once hacked, the IDS log showed the transfer of rootkits from a hacked University of Pennsylvania in the United States. Okay? And then we began the coordination directly with university officials via the Secret Service in Milano. Then the university officials sent us logs and the image of the compromised computer. With the help of the U.S. Army, we have understood that the compromised computer of university had a lot of matching with the compromised computer in the Army environment. And then we have understood that university computer was used as a toolbox. And at that time, we have identified the numerous other compromised systems, including the U.S. government system, more than 100, if I'm not wrong. And then we have reached the connection from dial-up in my country, in Italy. At the same time, we performed, with the help of the U.S. Army, an analysis of the intruder rootkit, totally self-made, which gave us the possibility to identify the chief of the organization called Pentos. At the same time, we had the help from the German investigators, and the German source told us that an important web server was compromised and used as a stepping stone to attack the U.S. Army machine. And then, forensic analyzing the machine from Germany, we found a lot of matching between that machine and the other two machines we have analyzed, the university one and the U.S. Army one. So we have understood that there were the same group operating against the U.S. Army machine. So the reason why I showed up those slides is that we have understood that the international cooperation is absolutely fundamental to solve the international crime. There's no possibility to trace back the people without having the right connection at worldwide level. And maybe it's one of the largest backtracing operations that were ever made in the world. It's the first case of conspiracy in my country, maybe in Europe. I am not sure about that, but it could be. And in that period, we started working with the European Electronic Crime Task Force, because we have understood that without the international cooperation, it wouldn't have been possible to achieve this result, and of course achieving a best correlation rate. So what's the European Electronic Crime Task Force? ECTF has a mission. The main office of ECTF is in Milano. The task force is it's not a clone, but it was built up on the model of the New York Electronic Crime Task Force. The mission is very simple. We want to guarantee the free flow of investigative-related information without the usual bureaucratic entanglements. That doesn't mean that we want to break the law and the internal procedures of every law enforcement agency, but the means of this mission is that we want to accelerate the process, even respecting the law at the same time. We are 50 different subscribers of the task force. The goal for this year is build up the organization up to 100 members, and we are pretty close to the results. We want to develop training and certification specific to the task force, and we want to expand the free flow of the information to reach not just Europe, but also United States, of course, and Asia, and possibly other continents like Australia and Africa. Regarding the communication between members, we use the CyberCop portal. CyberCop portal is a new kind of VPN, is a new kind of extranet that can be used by the law enforcement community and other trusted private sector. You can build your own community and you choose the policy related to the access to that community. The responsibility of the access and the enrollment is up to you. I mean, the chief of the task force, you set up some policy and you have the right to pick the people in and get the people out. This is the main screen of the CyberCop portal. You can get some CyberCop portal born from an idea of Kevin Manson. Kevin Manson is the responsible of the internet training at the Federal Law Enforcement Training Center. And as you can see, the main page is a normal user ID password page, but inside of the portal, we have chat, we have secure email, we have identification, we have a library, we have a lot of resources that can be used by the components of the task force and other communities to share the information and make the investigation as faster as possible. We don't give any limit to accept to get access to the portal. The only limit we have is that before getting to the portal, you got to subscribe a non-disclosure agreement related to the contents of the portal and the contents of the email exchange between the members. The responsible and the general affairs coordinator of the ECTF will not know anything about the investigation that are ongoing. That means that the only thing we do is put in touch the right person in the US, for example, with the right person in Holland or in the right person in Belgium or in Turkey and so on. This is our objective. ECTF is not affiliated with the European Union government stuff. It's a technical and incident response group. It can manage logs. It can manage some forensic exam. The members from ECTF are from law enforcement, military, academia, financial, and trusted private sector. We have solved some case. The Reservoir Dogs is the first one. We had also the possibility to solve some case in Cyprus, very big theft of a very large number of credit card. Some cyber fraud case involving Europe and the United States, and even the grand part of them are still under NDA. I can talk about the Cyprus case. The Cyprus case was started some months ago. And through our network of contacts, the ECTF was advised that the leader of a worldwide credit card trafficking ring has been arrested in Cyprus. Then we were able to arrange the travel of both the evidence and the police officers involved in the case to our forensic lab in Italy. We have a forensic lab in Italy. And in Italy too, we were able to quickly conduct an initial forensic exam, recovering enough evidence to keep the people in the jail. Then the second part of the investigation was built up in the United States. So what we have learned during this investigation. Talking about the operation rootkit, we have learned that the companies should increase the control of the internal IT security personnel. No way. Nothing to do. Hiring the right people just because some headhunter told you that is not enough. You got to make a good screening on it. Customers, talking about the other side, should think twice before leaving their IT systems in the hands of potentially untrustworthy consultants. That means that sometimes the customer are too easy to key, to give the keys of their house to the wrong people. And again, the international cooperation is essential for cybercrime enforcement. So, time ago I had an email exchange with Lance Spitzer, and we were talking about know your enemy. And knowing the enemy means sharing information with the peers, testing the knowledge and the skills, but first of all, understanding that the bureaucracy is the real enemy of the law enforcement. So the wish is, know your enemy. I mean, the enemy is the hacker, but is the bureaucracy and the bad bureaucracy as well. So my wish is, please get the investigation as fast as you can. And maybe the task force is the right way to solve the problem. That doesn't mean that you gotta break the laws or the internal policies. That just means that you must accelerate the process. I'm very happy to give this speech today. I hope that it was all useful for you. I'll be happy to answer to your question after the conference, and I'll be around in this conference in the next 2 days. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dario. And thank you, Eric, for sponsoring lunch. I just love this law enforcement stuff. We're going to actually have a cyber court later today, starting at 4:45 in Palace 2. And you know, we're looking for jury members. So if you'd like to sign up to be a jury member, go to the registration desk after about 2 o'clock to sign up to be a jury member. Thank you. We'll see you back tomorrow. Have a good day.